Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio and also broadcasting on in association with Progzilla Radio. You're currently listening to Being Boiled by the Human League. I hope you enjoy it. Wonderful Being Boiled there from the Human League. Anyway, hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio and also broadcasting on in association with Progzilla Radio. Top of the Progs is back and better than ever. So, Being Boiled is a great song. It was like the Human League's first ever single. It did really well. John Lydon reviewed it for the NME and he gave it a two-word review, and the two-word review was effing hippies, and I just think that's a brilliant review of the song. It's a great track. It was like the first set of lyrics I think Phil Oakey had ever written, but it's a great track. Someone pointed out on YouTube that it's remarkably similar to Visage's Fade to Grey, that when Midyear wrote that, he may have borrowed quite a bit of inspiration from Being Boiled, but it's a great song. I've been listening to the audiobook recently of Martin Ware's autobiography titled Electronically Yours, the Martin Ware Autobiography Volume 1, and he talks about the Human League and Heaven 17 and producing Tina Turner and loads of the amazing stuff he's done. It's really worth a read or a listen if you can manage to get hold of a copy. It really I'm near the end of it, but there's some brilliant stories in there. A lot of stories about the early Human League days when they were starting the band, how influenced they were by Roxy Music and things like that. And one of my favourite bits of the book is, I won't spoil it for you, but he talks about the split between the Human League. And all I will say is it happened completely differently to what we've been told, what the press has said, and what's been said in every single documentary about the band, which is... It gave me a fascinating new perspective on the post where... Human League stuff and on Heaven 17 and all kind of like 80s music in general. It really is wonderful. But anyway, next up, I've got a really kind of wide selection for this week's show. I've tried to go kind of wide berth as possible. You know, the question that always comes back is, what is prog? What is progressive? And by definition, I guess progressive is anything that's trying to move. The way I view prog music is that it was any music that at the time was trying to push boundaries and push forward and to create something new. And I feel like that's the best definition of prog. I feel like the definition of prog being long solos and odd time signatures really limits the genre, but I think as long as the envelope was being pushed, one can argue that this was prog. And this, by the way, is one of my favourite songs that I've discovered recently. I watched the film The Great Rock and Roll Swindle back in February, which is about the Sex Pistols, and I was really, really taken with this. This is Sid Vicious singing My Way, performed by the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
Sid Vicious certainly did do it his way right up until the end. There's a great bit in the biopic series Pistol, directed by Danny Boyle, which is on Disney Plus for those who haven't seen it. It got a lot of flack when it came out, but I really enjoyed it because we got to see a obviously, you know, they're reenacting all the scenes, but we got to see a reenactment of making the movie The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, and Sid's recording My Way in the studio. At this point, John's left the band by the time they're producing the film, so it's just Steve Jones, Paul Cook, and Sid, basically, and of course Malcolm, who's like driving this whole thing along, and Julian Temple's directing it, basically. But he's pushing the whole thing along, and Sid's in the studio, and he gets behind the mic, and he's really nervous. He doesn't know what to do. They're going, come on, Sid, just, you know, just be yourself, and it's not going very well. And then he gets a pep talk from his girlfriend Nancy, and she says, you know, you've just got to own it and do it your way and be yourself. And he did, and he gave us that brilliant take. And Steve Jones has later said that was one of his favourite days ever in the recording studio, was producing My Way, and it was a great hit single. It climbed the charts. And then in the film at the end, in The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, Sid Vicious kills the audience after performing the song. It's really tragic that Vicious died while they were making that film. There's a BBC Newsnight thing where they're talking about The Rock and Roll Swindle, and the interviewer, he asks the $1 million question. He says to McLaren, he says, straight up, he says, if Sid Vicious hadn't have met you, would he have still been alive today? And McLaren gets quite flustered at that, but he relents and says, yes, he probably would, which is quite sad. Anyway, moving on to something a little bit happier. This is probably a song. There's a few tracks in this week's show that I'm sure have never been played on Progzilla Radio before, and I rub my hands together in playing them. But this next one, it is a 7.5 minute epic by a Manchester band from the 90s. It's an Oasis song. I think it's really good. I think it's a special song, and it is of prog length. It is a long song, and I just love it, so I thought, why not play it on the show? This is Champagne Supernova by Oasis.
Champagne supernova, slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where we
This is going to sound like a totally made-up story, but I swear it's completely true. That yesterday I was walking back through the streets of Manchester to get a train, and I was listening to Champagne Supernova, looking at the skyline, and suddenly the song made sense. For the first time ever, I was like, I get this, I'm in the home city, I'm in the place where this was born, and I understand it now. But no, it's a good song. It's a good song. A lot of people complain about Owen Morris's production on Definitely Maybe and on What's the Story Morning Glory, because basically Owen Morris used at the time a kind of sort of new technique, you know, brick wall mastering, brick wall limiting, where basically all the song, you know, you just cut the dynamic range from all the songs, so it's just loud 100% of the time. So every time an Oasis song would come on the radio or anything, it would be loud, you know, louder than everything else. And it would, you know, it would give the perception that it was better and it was more kind of in your face, basically, which was interesting because I think Owen Morris may have inadvertently started the loudness wars of the 2000s with remastering CDs, which culminated in Metallica's Death Magnetic, which was horrific sounding. But a lot of people, but I think it's, you know, it's of its time, that production really suits it, and it's like a nod to the Beatles, so it kind of being a bit muddy and a bit big and loud, it kind of makes sense, it adds to the character of the songs. Next up, we've got a little bit of Roxy Music. This is probably Roxy Music's most famous song, which again, I listened to after listening to Martin Ware's thing. He talks about seeing Roxy Music for the first time in his book, and it's a brilliant moment. He says that the real front, like, Ferry was behind his Fender Rhodes, Manzanera was dancing about playing the guitar, but the real star of the show was Brian Eno, playing his synthesizer with his glove, and he was upstaging everybody else, even though he wasn't singing, and Ferry looked uncomfortable, but Eno was the true frontman of Roxy Music, and I love that story. But it's a great song, it's very rock and roll, but it's got the electronics elements in there. This is Virginia Plain by Roxy Music.
You're so chic, to the rebel of we. Babies of the mountain streamline. Midnight you can see in the floors. Dance the cha-cha through to sunrise. Opens up exclusive doors for a while. Just like the windows look the same. So me and you, just we two, got to search for something new.
Good fun, like I say, I get the rock and roll vibes of it. I get like Chuck Berry and stuff from it. I don't know why, but it's got that kind of Velvet Underground thing as well, where it's like it's the piano's so driving and repetitive. But the best bit I think comes in later on when the synth break happens during the song. It's just so simple, but just so brilliant. Next up, we've got a band I've never actually played on Top of the Progs before. Funnily enough, like Roxy Music and also like Oasis and the Human League. I don't think I've played the. Oh yes, I did. We had. What's it called now? These are the things dreams are made of when Pat was last on the show. No, this is Hawkwind. I've never played Hawkwind on the show before. I apparently wanted to play this because I know somebody who claims they were there, although he chats a lot of nonsense, so I don't know whether to believe him, but he told me that he was there. He got the train to the roundhouse and it was when he was 15 years old and he watched it and he listened to it and it was the most amazing thing. Oh my goodness. And Stacia was there with no clothes on, as she did on the stage, pretty much, or very little clothes on, and all the young boys in the audience lost their minds. But it's a great song. I feel like what's interesting about this and a lot of the Hawkwind stuff is it's got that kind of prolonged 60s vibe to it, if that makes sense. Like, it's got the kind of, I don't know, it's kind of is at odds with the rest of prog rock, because prog rock isn't bluesy or blues at all. Prog rock is very English, very European, yet Hawkwind have kind of got that, the Led Zeppelin thing going on, that kind of bluesy grunginess mixed with the synthesizers and sound, and it makes it really interesting. A lot of the songs are very simple, very kind of krautrockish, you know, they've got those just driving beats all the way through, but they're really fun to listen to. And this is like Hawkwind's most played track, it's probably the most famous song, and do you know what, for good reason, it is an absolute banger and I absolutely love it. This is Silver Machine by Hawkwind, live at the Roundhouse, I believe in 70 or 71. Enjoy. just brilliant. I've got a silver mix. It's so simple, but it's just brilliant. And of course, Lemmy's vocal on that is just genius. You know, it's the one you can tell, you know, why. When you hear that, you can kind of hear that he's destined for greatness, if that makes sense. Like, when you listen to that, you think, this guy's going some places. He just delivers it with such grit, and his voice just powers over everything else. It's so kind of simple, and dun, 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 and his voice just pushes through and makes some real, real magic. Next up, we've got a song that's a little bit of a shameless plug, but when the first single by the little project Age of Distraction came out, it had a good friend, Charlie Bramble, singing on lead vocals, and it's written by the... So the head of the project is this Winter Machine guitarist, John Cook. He's an amazing guitar player. What he does is absolutely mind-blowing. This Winter Machine, we've got The Clockwork Man coming out soon as well, so shout out to that album. John did an amazing job on that. I've heard a couple of tracks and it was pretty solid. But no, the Age of Distraction stuff is really good. It's a lot heavier. It's produced by Don Bennison, who plays drums on the tracks, and there's a variety of guest vocalists. But I was asked to play keyboards on this track, and I took no time at all to say yes, and did it in an afternoon, and I was really happy with how it turned out. It reminds me of Dream Theater a lot, the song, and I just think it's a great heavy song with a brilliant guest vocal from Phil Stuckey from Stuckfish as well, and he did an amazing job on this. And I just think everything came together for this one. Like, out of the stuff I've played on, I'm really kind of proud of it as a piece, and can listen back to it and just enjoy it. It's got some weird chords in there. This is Take Me Down by Age of Distraction.
Ice and snow. Think I'll have a coffee before I go. Try to think things through. I'm all used up, but hey, that's nothing new. I'll keep coming back for more. Down on me. I'm a prisoner of reason, of empathy. This God is my witness. I have enough rope, enough rope to take me down. To take. You don't need me now.
It's a really good song. That it's a lot of fun. It's just a good track. I really enjoy it. The next song coming out from the band is Game of Whispers, which is coming out at some point soon. I think it's early September, but look out for that one. Give them a like, give them a stream, go and watch the lyric videos on YouTube. Give them some good old support, because they're well worth it. Next up, we've got a little bit of despised Genesis. The band's most hated album ever, Calling All Stations, recently got added to Spotify. So I thought it would be a good laugh to play. I don't know, I think it's an underrated song, like as much stick as it gets. I feel like Calling All Stations is a great song. Maybe because it carries the name Genesis, it cannot be considered prog and prim and proper and all that. But I think it's one of the band's, not one of the best works, but I think it's a great song. It's very 90s, it's very different, very atmospheric, very out there, kind of plays with the structure a little bit, very of its time, but nonetheless is a really great song. This is Calling All Stations by Genesis. Love that. It's so good. I don't know the way to describe it, but it's a good song. I think is probably what I can say about it. But I love it. There's some kind of magic there. It's it got critically panned. Tickets sold poorly for the tour. They had to transpose the key of a lot of the songs. Got bad reviews. But Calling All Stations happened, and we have to just live with it now. You know, we have to live with it and make the best of a bad situation, and enjoy the album for what it is. And the title track certainly is brilliant. One thing I do like about it is how rigid it is, like in terms of the drumming department. Well, I don't know, it kind of fits the vibe of the song, and I think if Phil Collins was there, it would have been better for sure, because maybe they would have done In the Air Tonight, where it starts out with a drum machine, then Phil comes in. I'm sure there's going to be there's going to be an AI Phil Collins sings Calling All Stations or something like that. We're gonna have that wonderful gem to look forward to over the next few years, which is going to be quite funny. Moving now to a little bit of heaviness with a little bit of Metallica. I've been listening to the band's first album a lot recently, Kill 'Em All. Kill 'Em All was probably the last of the thrash albums of theirs I listened to. The others were just so damn good, I think is probably why I didn't really listen to it that much. But, you know, I love Ride the Lightning, is my favourite Metallica album. Then probably Justice, then probably Master of Puppets after that, in terms of the thrash stuff. And then I've been listening to Kill 'Em All, and there is some great stuff on there, but you kind of get the sense that out of all their albums, this was the one where, of course, it's a debut. They had not been, you know, they're not massive at this point. They haven't had, you know, the 10,000 hours that they had by the time they did Ride the Lightning on stage and stuff like that. And it doesn't have much double kick in there. It's still very much kind of like, I don't know, they've not really found the open-y chugging thing yet. There's a lot of punk in there, and just a lot of fastness, and a lot of, like, other influences in there that yet to kind of fall upon. There's some great moments on there, of course, but they get to fall upon the full Metallica thing. And of course, Kirk Hammett had only just joined the band. Dave Mustaine had been kicked out, so he had to learn Mustaine's solos and play them in. And it was a rush production, and the band weren't happy with the mixes and how it turned out. And it went over budget, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But it's a great album. This is one of my favourite tracks on it, because it's just so fast, so angry, and so in your face. This is Motor Breath by Metallica.
Away.
It's very punky, very straight to the point, very short, you know, very simple song structure considering what they would go on to do on the next album and the album after that. But it's a great example of what the band would become. And Hetfield really doesn't like his vocals on Kill 'Em All. He's just like, it's just a kid screaming. But and I can see where he's coming from, you know, there is that element. But, you know, it's just one of those time things in it. You know, he puts more time into it, and on the next album he gets a lot more confident, then he's more confident on the next. And by the time he comes to the Black Album, it's like, wow, this guy is one of the best metal vocalists ever. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one. Next up, we're having a little bit of Devo with one of the band's weirder, more popular songs from the 80s. It's, at this point, they're more electronic than they are kind of acoustic instruments and electric instruments, the more kind of synth-based. But this is a great song with a great kind of funny message behind it. This is Puppet Boy by Devo.
Puppet Boy.
What a song. What a fun little, I don't know. Why did you even describe something like that? The 80s sounds on it are quite funny, quite amusing, and the silly kind of pitch vocal on it. But it's a good old tune. It's a good bit of music. We're now, unfortunately, nearing the end of this week's Top of the Progs, and I'd like to close with a little bit of a classic David Bowie with an album that was packed with a fair few singles, his 1980 album, Scary Monsters and Super Creeps. This is a great one. It's one of those ones where it's built around a riff and a hook provided by the masterful Robert Fripp, and it is just beautifully bonkers and one of David Bowie's finest songs with great political commentary. This is Fashion by David Bowie. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have a good week. Goodbye.